5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Yeah, I got to put on my good sweatpants.
Big O! Showtime!
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Limousine Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the streaming, go direct to DLNTS.org. NIC channels and Linux.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 892 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Six more weeks of winter.
Yeah, Punxsutawney Tom. Back in the hole. We have Joel back in the hole.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
This is Texas. Doesn't matter what the rest of y'all have for weather.
Well, you got snow now there too?
Nope.
No? Well, that's good.
It is currently 70 degrees.
Oh, that's nice.
Shut up.
Yeah. We actually had snow this week for the first time in 2 years. We didn't have any snow last year. We had snow twice this week. And it lasted like 12 hours, and then it was gone.
We got about 28 inches up here.
Oh, yeah, I saw. There's like a nice snowfall for stopping traffic and everything, huh?
Yeah, for about a day, yeah.
So if your kids weren't doing virtual school before, they probably are now.
Now, one thing I always hated up there, like the after the snowfall, a couple days after, you still have to deal with the black ice on the roads.
Yeah, well, it gets cold at night.
Yeah.
Shit ices up, you know. It's typical.
Yeah.
The refreezing.
That is it. So, I got some news, Joel. Can you guess what it is? Guess what I'm getting, Joel.
A new laptop, finally?
No. No. But
Pi Pico?
No. No. You're not too far off. Not too far off. Like, somewhere between...
Pi 400.
No. I'm replacing something. Finally.
Your server.
No computer. It's not... Well,
your car.
No.
Your toilet.
No, my toilet's fine. It's technology related. I am finally, after 3 years, I think, or more. I don't know. Maybe even...
Getting up a day.
Crap. Might even be 4 years. I don't know. I'm replacing my phone.
Whoa!
What are you getting? Yeah.
Guess what I'm getting. See if you can guess what I'm getting.
Pixel 2? A Note 20. Well, no, you can't get a Note 21 yet.
Come on, we've already had discussions. We've had discussions about what I buy in the past. And what do you think, based upon what I buy, I'm going to buy? I bought.
An iPhone
Something
11.
Cheap-ass shit.
No, Joe, you're completely wrong. An iPhone 11, absolutely not. I wouldn't spend that kind of money, particularly on myself, for a phone. And no, Joel.
You got a blue.
What's a blue?
A BLU phone?
No. What's that? Is that a cheap phone?
It's an extremely cheap phone.
No, I went middle of the road here.
Galaxy A5.
No.
Asus ROG.
I'll tell you what. The phone I wanted to get, I almost pulled the trigger on it, and then I found something horrible out about it, and I was like, no way. But I did get, I have a Pixel 4a coming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I did a bunch of, hopping around on reviews and stuff, and it was highly rated.
And it can run modern Android, like version 11.
A OnePlus, whatever they're on now.
I wanted to get a OnePlus. The OnePlus N10, I think it is. Nord 10. OnePlus N10. Like, it was, like, very well reviewed. There's only one problem with it. And I don't know if you've heard this, but the OnePlus came out, like, the OnePlus N Nord 10 came out a few months ago, and it shipped with Android.
Doesn't support T-Mobile.
No, it shipped with Android 10, right? And Android 11 came out, I think, September? Was that it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And so OnePlus said they're only supporting one update on this phone. And it's shipping with 10, and they're only going to support an update to 11. And after that, there's no more updates for the OS.
Unless you go through XDA.
Right.
So I was like, you know, for $50 more, the Pixel, Google's going to support for at least 3 years of OS updates. I'm like, I'm just going to go with that. I didn't even think about XDA. That's right. I could. Do you still have to go through the crap of jailbreaking the phone and all that, or rooting the phone to do that?
Yeah, but from what I understand, it's a little bit easier with OnePlus than it is with, you know, like Samsung.
Because I know, like, if you buy a phone through your carrier, you got to unlock it, and then you got to root it.
Incorrect.
You don't have to unlock them anymore?
You never had to unlock them. You just had to root them.
I thought, like, if you wanted to root your phone, you had to get it. You had to unlock it first. This is going back, like,
never.
Huh. I know every time I would try to root my damn phones, you'd have to use some kind of Windows application to do it.
Has that does better, happen. Better? No, I don't think it has. Because, I haven't custom ROM'd a phone in a long time now.
Right.
But it used to be that you had to load up Windows and run an application called Odin. And I think someone came out with a version that would run on Linux, but I don't know if it continued getting updates or anything. So the best bet is probably still like Odin through Windows.
Yeah, so when I was making the decision with the phone, I didn't want to get something that was already tied to my carrier and loaded with a bunch of shit on it. Because I don't like that. What really caused me to pull the trigger is that, like, I am at, it's got 10 gigs of internal storage available, 10.82 gigs available to it, right? And it keeps reporting that I have used 10.3 gigs. And, like, every other day I'm deleting stuff off the phone. And I got to the point where, like, I've almost removed everything but the applications that came with it that I can't remove. And I'm like, all this functionality I wanted to use this phone for, like, I have to keep removing this applications off because I'm out of space.
Is that your new phone or your old phone?
No, this is my old phone, the one I've been using for 4 years. And I'm like, I don't have photos on here. I don't have stuff that's downloaded. I'm like, where is all my space going? And I'm wondering, does it keep the older versions of the software that you install on there? I mean, is it that?
No.
So where's all my space going?
No clue. Or I assume you're downloading a crap ton of porn to your phone.
I'm not doing anything on my phone anymore. Like, I go through all the applications and I'm like, what's the cache? Is it this? I've deleted all my messages. I just keep constantly running out of space. I can't figure out why I have no space.
Are you automatically downloading podcasts?
No, I'm not doing any of that stuff on there. I don't have music. I don't have photos on here anymore.
No, he uses an MP3 player for the.
Yeah, come on, Joe. You know this. I don't listen to music on my phone. Because I can't.
So you got a Just Black or Barely Blue?
No, they were sold out of the Barely Blue, so I got the Just Black.
So get yourself an international version of the Note 10 Plus with like 512 gig built in.
How much is that?
Probably not that much anymore. I mean, when it first came out, it was $1,600, and that that's right. been almost 2 years now. So
yeah, the M20 is on its on the cusp. It hasn't released yet, but it's on the cusp of being released.
Oh, I thought it was the Note 21 that was going to be released in 3 or 4 months. No, it should be fall, right?
I don't know. I did look up in my work iPhone. I could probably upgrade come this fall. I probably will do that. It's an 11, and of course, they still have 11s listed on our work's website on what phones you can get. But and the phone works fine. It's just there's a scratch on the screen already. I should say already. I've had it over a year now. So, I mean, you know. And I carry it more now than I'm insurance because I'm on call. And that wouldn't change if I get the tech lead position. So, in fact, I actually probably be a little worse in that I have to call. I'd have to carry the phone with me all the time. But, you know, just in case, like, the on-call needs a tech lead position to help approve things.
Okay. Renewed on Amazon, the Note 10 Plus 512 gig is $583.
Oh, yeah. He only paid $350 for the 4A, though.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm cheap, man.
How much internal memory does it have, though?
I want to say 128.
Still in the
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's funny.
The Note 10 256 gig is 500. So yeah.
Yeah, 128's good. That's actually a nice comfort spot. Like I had to recently, I just had to update my the iCloud storage because my iPad is a 256 gig iPad and had some videos on there that I went in there and I basically said, hey, I don't want you to back up videos to iCloud because those I don't need. Those are just on there when I'm editing on the iPad. But phone storage, just hadn't, generally, I haven't had a problem with it in a long time because I don't buy cheap phones. But no, we had to actually have to send my son the USB-C port on his didn't work, so I had to pony up some money with the Shurion and get a replacement for him. So I need to actually send it back.
What happened to it?
CSC S10 5G. Couple things. The USB-C port would not charge. The only way he could charge it was via wireless. And he probably never really noticed it, but there was a portion of his screen, like a little circle. It's not crack or nothing, but there's a portion of the screen on this one that basically has no pixels on it for some reason. It's actually a replacement screen. I just turned it on because I'm getting ready to wipe it because I want to drop it in a mailbox.
What the hell? What is that? Is that the
but
startup?
It would only charge off.
Is that the startup sound it makes?
No, No, that's probably an email alert, or he has Facebook alerts turned on, and I don't know why.
Every time he gets a Facebook alert, that goes off.
Yep, or that any kind of email or anything like
goodness.
That.
That's loud.
Oh, I can tell from across the house, but yeah, I mean, it would only charge wirelessly, and it just was giving him fits. So I finally broke down. I ordered him a new one. We paid for the warranty, especially on his phone. I'm never sorry I pay that extra $5 or $6 a month ever.
See, I looked at the the warranty through Google was $99, right? And I read the fine print, and it says, well, if it ever breaks, you just have to send it in with a $128, you know, charge on top. And I'm like, 190, like 99 and 128, that's like, I'm already at, like, was that $220? I'm more than halfway to buying a new phone at that price.
Yep. Yeah, but I'll say this. This is the first time I had a replacement come in where now they had a SIM in the box, but all I had to do is pop the SIM out of his old phone and pop it into the new phone and no problems. Which is, you know, if you were on Verizon for a long time, you couldn't do that. But that's a good thing.
Another thing happened today.
Reset.
Another exciting thing happened today. So my wife came downstairs all upset.
Your wife did what?
She came downstairs this morning all upset. She's like, I updated my Chromebook and bricked it. And so apparently what happened is when she was, before she went to bed last night, she was like, there's an update. I should probably take care of it. Restart the update. And then she restarted and put it on the side and went to bed. And when she woke up this morning and she went to go, you know, pull it up, she logged in, or it was off, I think it was. And so she turned it on and she logged in. It said something about the update and then shut itself off. It said, like, updated successfully, then it shut itself off. And then when she tried to turn it back on again, she just got a black screen. And not like a black backlit screen, just a solid black screen. But the power light indicated that it was on. So she tried restarting. She tried everything she could think of. She gave it to me. I was playing around with it. I plugged it into HDMI port. I plugged it into my monitor. It wasn't, nothing was coming out of the HDMI port. I followed the many different things about how to, you know, boot into
safe mode, recovery mode.
Or try to do that. Like you hold in, you hold the power button and the refresh and,
down volume.
Escape key. And then there's this other one where you plug it in and you hold the refresh and escape key and the power button and it'll shut it off and then it's supposed to turn it back on and then certain things you could do with, and absolutely nothing would work. No matter what we tried, we could not get this thing to work. She bought it from Acer a few months ago, so it's still under warranty. She went through on her phone the Acer support thing get it to cover under warranty. It was an absolute terrible experience because the website was not at all mobile friendly, but she managed to get through it. And at the end, they're like, at this time, we can't help you. You'll have to call a customer service representative. And so I was like, okay, you can use my Chromebook until you get things sorted out.
You have one?
Yeah, I have a Chromebook. I have, Samsung, I think. Yeah, it's like last year's model, but yeah, right. Remember I talked about it. I got it a few months ago. I love it. I use it all the time. But anyway, and of course this is what I did. Right before I gave it to her, I restarted for an update on it.
Uh-oh.
And then I was like, "All right, I'm going to log in just to make sure." So I logged back in. And I got the black screen for a couple of minutes. Not a couple, like 15 seconds. And then I was in, right? It was like whatever it was doing. And I'm like, okay, good. It's fine. So I log out and hand it to her. She goes to log in. And she comes downstairs like 5 minutes later. She's like, I'm freaking out now.
It's
doing the same thing. Like it's just at a black screen on mine. But it's the difference is mine's a backlit black screen. So I'm like, I don't know. I power it off. bring it back up. I log in. I have no problem logging in. I'm in. I log out, log her in, black screen again. And I'm like, well, maybe it's updating the profile, pulling stuff down, whatever. So we waited for like 10 minutes and there was no change. So I logged back out and tried, you know, and we got a third Chromebook. And I was like, at this point, I'm searching all over on this issue. And I love the support responses where a person's like, I try to log into my Chromebook and it either restarts or it won't let me get in there. And the response is to solve this problem, well, just go into options and reset stuff back to factory defaults. Like, how are you going to do that if you can't even get into it? Like, if you can't log in and reset your account, how are you going to do that? That kind of support or whatever. So anyway, and right. she's like, well, maybe you got to factory reset your Chromebook. And I'm like, why do I need to factory reset my Chromebook for your account to work when my account's just fine? And I tested the guest account and it was just fine. I'm like, I'm not going to factory reset because I got it all set up and I'm doing what I want with it, right? And so she tried a third Chromebook and she was able to get into that one. That wasn't a problem. So then I'm like, all right. I posted on like the Chromebook community help site. I explained the situation, like the whole thing. Wife, her Chromebook is shot, and then she tried to log in with mine. Like, it wouldn't let her get in. It just black screen, and we couldn't do anything. And I posted that, and then I'm sitting there waiting. I'm like, you know what I didn't try? I didn't try removing her account from my Chromebook and re-adding it and see if it worked. And sure enough, I did that. And then she was able to log in. Now, I don't know if it was because she went and logged in somewhere else. Yeah, but it was just weird.
Were you able to then log into her Chromebook?
Oh, no. Her Chromebooks won't do a thing. Like, it doesn't even come up to a... There's no display at all, right? There's no display coming out of the machine. There's no backlight on it. There's no display coming out of HDMI. I've tried all the different like startup keys I could find. It doesn't do a thing. You don't even hear the fan or anything going. It's just like, it's like dead. But it's not because it shows power on. I almost was tempted. Yeah, I was almost tempted to maybe try and pop the case off to see if it was the cable, the video cable, because they say that sometimes comes loose. But I'm like, that might void the warranty if I do that. Which she has, and they said that it would be a warranty fix on the website, but then they couldn't go any further. And plus, generally, when it is that kind of issue, you still get something coming out of the HDMI port, which nothing was.
Huh.
So you got a comment now, Joe? Let's hear it.
Chromebooks suck.
You know,
well,
I hear what you're saying. I've been enjoying mine. It's been working pretty well. But,
well, I understand the appeal of a Chromebook, you know, lightweight. It's supposed to be lower cost. It really doesn't seem like it is anymore. But,
well, you get a Dell Chromebook 11 inch one for $129. You know, they can be cheap, but they can be expensive, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you get a Pixelbook... Well, the Pixelbook Go is not horribly expensive anymore.
But I could see where they would be good for someone that, you know, just wants to view YouTube videos or just wants to edit online documents or things like that. I can see the appeal, but the overall cost for a decent Chromebook... You could spend elsewhere on a laptop, and really, yeah, there isn't a whole lot of space for you to be able to work on a Chromebook yourself and get it working correctly if something goes wrong.
Well, it's like the you know, I'm looking at a higher end system that I can do video editing on, and yeah, I kind of would like to do a desktop for that, because then, you know, then I can at least pop another hard drive in there if I wanted to, you know. But by the time I get the desktop, which comes with the keyboard and mouse, no screen, I have to go buy a screen too. I basically have the cost of a nice gaming laptop or something like that, which already has a screen on it too. So I don't have to buy the screen. So it's like, which do I do?
You know? Right. I mean, you can get laptops these days with 144 hertz refresh rate
right.
on the screen, or even higher if you're willing to throw the money at it. But the cost on those is way up there right now. You know, 2,000 or more. Like
there's a MSI GP66 or 60, I can't remember the exact model number, but because they have two versions of it, they have a 15 and a 17 inch version, but it has the mobile version of the GTX 3070, the 3070 RTX card in it, for right around it's right around 1800.
Yeah, but from what I understand, when it comes to the newer graphics cards in laptops, you have to be careful and do your research per machine because of how cooling works and the fact that they're using less cores in the mobile graphics cards. And it's up to the manufacturer how much power they provide to the graphics card.
Correct. So, in an all-in-one, like an iMac, or I don't know, the Surface Studio 2 looks so gorgeous, but it's like $3,400. I'm like, phew. It's overpriced for the hardware that's in it. So, I don't know. You know, we'll see. I got time. I'm not buying any system until I move, because I really don't have the room for it right now. Well, if I bought a laptop, I would. But so
has anybody watched the first episode of Resident Alien?
No.
What's it on?
With Alan Tudyk, Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh. Where do you get the Sci-Fi Channel?
I have this crazy thing called the internet, and that's all I'm going to say on the subject.
Well, okay, so
BitTorrent.
No, I have not. Which I have obviously answers your question already. No, I have not, because I don't even know where to get it from, unless you pull it down off the internet.
It's pretty good.
It looked interesting.
Nice.
Is it funny? Good story?
Yeah, the first episode was good. Second episode should be sometime today. So I might get to watch it tomorrow. We'll see.
Ooh, that reminds me. I got to get caught up on The Good Doctor. They had a new episode, I think, Monday.
I like Alan Tudyk.
Not a sci-fi show, but it's a good show anyway.
I really like the stuff Alan Tudyk does. Did you see?
Most of the stuff that he does. I really didn't like his character in what was it, Transformers 2 or 3?
No clue.
I don't. You know what? I didn't even know he was in a Transformers movie, and I haven't been able to stay awake in a Transformers movie since
the first one.
Yeah, and that might be pushing it. Did you see Tucker and Dale?
No.
What's that called?
Tucker and Dale?
I know which.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah, I haven't watched that.
Good. That is so
but
good.
I did enjoy his performance in Doom Patrol.
Oh, I gotta see that. I've been meaning to see that. I didn't realize he was in there. See, I keep saying I like Alan Tudyk in the movies. He's, I haven't seen all of his movies, apparently. Wow. Doom Patrol, wait, was that a movie? Or was that a...
No, that was a...
It's a series.
It was on DC streaming that has moved over to HBO Max, or will for the next season if it ever comes out. But, you know, they haven't started filming yet because COVID.
So it's on HBO Max right now, and I have HBO Max, which I found out a couple weeks ago when I watched Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah, you should be able to catch all the episodes then.
I'll have to check it out. Absolutely.
Yep. Well, I got into a Amazon certification, AWS certification study site through work called the website. I think it's a Cloud Guru is the name of the website.
Okay.
And they have practice tests for the exams. And the things they wanted us to do, they want us to do it in Q1. We're rapidly running out of time in Q1. But they want us to get a certification this year.
Well, that's always a good thing, right?
So I'm going to try. Well, I guess. You know, I don't know. I'm like, I had the certification like a long time ago. I went through the effort of, in fact, this is actually a kind of a fun story. When I first started learning Unix and all the stuff I needed to do, well, to keep my job at the college, I was at the time a mainframe operator, and mainframe's going away, so I had to do something to keep, you know, to keep a job, you know. So the college at the time, they bought these things from IBM. I think they still have them, although they're nowhere near what they were back then. But back then, they had these IBM education cards, and they had education centers all over the country. The first one I ever went to was in Miami, Florida, at Miami University. And I went to Miami, to Colorado, to Phoenix a couple times, and Crystal City, Virginia, right outside where the Pentagon is in Virginia. That trip I took Luke with. Luke was like two or three, and Luke and Misty came with me on that trip. That was actually not too bad of a trip in the evening. I got to at least spend time with them. But so I go, I get towards ready, and I want to pass the IBM AIX 5L certification, okay? And they had these CRAM classes through a company called MUX that does, they don't exist anymore, I don't think. So I went there, and it happens to be one of my favorite instructors, the one I had in Colorado, taught that class in Phoenix, too, the CRAM class. So basically it's 2 days. All right, and the first day is just cram. All right, it's actually kind of a guided cram, so the teacher's in there and all that. And so there's about five of us in there, including this very pretty lady from tall, leggy blonde who happens to work for the IRS. All right, and so I go in there into Phoenix like the day before, go there, and when class lets out, I drop my crap off at the hotel. I take a walk down to Circle K and grab some 2 liters of caffeine, and I stayed up a good chunk of the night until about 2 or 3 in the morning cramming for the exam. Go into it the next day, you take the exam, and as we walk in the classroom, this blonde, she brought Panera for everyone, so we had free breakfast that morning. It was, like, pretty awesome to take my test, and I passed. I got my certification. It's no good anymore, but I got the certification, and that's kind of one reason I'm not a huge fan of certifications is because, you know, you got to keep them up. But in any event, that blonde, though, guess what happened, Dan?
What happened?
She failed.
Oh, she failed?
She you failed her
given,
test.
You should have given him your certification.
But anyway, it was pretty fun. I just kind of chuckled after I walked out of the classroom, but I got that. And was back then IBM sent like a, you remember, like, I don't know, I don't remember when I was in high school, but I know that like maybe when my brother graduated, they had a way that you can get like a little pocket copy of your diploma. IBM did that too. With their little certificate, so I got one of those in the mail at work a few weeks after I got back. But it was pretty cool. But what's funny though is they had a consultant that was there that was doing a lot of the stuff before I took over, and we also had these printers, which Xerox made printers that had Sun workstations attached to them as their printer controller. Okay. So basically that's all it was for. Okay. And this guy calls me like up when I was at one of the training classes. He's like, oh, how do I create a queue on this printer? I'm like, you don't. But how do I send print to it? I will take care of it when I get back from my class. Because he's sitting here. He's like, well, I'm sitting here at an X term. What can I do? And I'm like, you don't do anything on it. Because basically what it, you know, really all it was this workstation. Now, it didn't have – no, it had all its own proprietary software and a proprietary card from the Sun workstation plugged into the printer itself, you know, which is essentially a glorified copier, okay? And all you had to do was send it, you know, it's just like a laser jet or whatever. You would send it to print to a specific IP and port, and that was it, all right? And I said, you know, don't do anything on that controller, because next thing you know, I'd have to call Xerox and have them restore the OS on the damn thing. It's like, and I'm like, one thing that just bugs the crap out of me is when people who should know better start messing with things and start doing things. Ugh. Those printers were neat, though. I wouldn't mind having the workstation that was attached to them, but I don't want the printer. The printer is too freaking big. I mean, we're talking about like a multi-trade device with a big feeder. I think these even had staplers on them too, so that you can, if you send a multi-page job, it would come off already stapled. But they don't have Xerox printers at the college anymore. I think – I don't know what they have anymore. Before I left, they switched to Ricoh printers. That's not one of the hardest things to set up when you're in the cloud and you're working remotely, because it's not like you can walk over the printer over in – well, we even have a client in the Caribbean right now. So, I mean, it's not like you can go to the Caribbean and look at their printer. So, but, oh, excuse me. But yeah, I'm going to start studying for that test. I might take a test tomorrow while I'm on the air. This week I've been training a new senior admin so she could become a bit more self-sufficient. So we did two clones, one yesterday and one today, and she's doing the last one, same client. So we're going to have a Zoom call, have her get it kicked off, and then she'll run the wizard. I'm just going to sit there and shut up unless she has a question. So that'll be fun.
Excited?
No. Well, I'm excited to get some of the workload split across our team more. We have three, well, really four. Actually, no, take it back. Once she's fully trained, she's starting to take tickets now. She's pretty close to being self-sufficient. But we had at one point we had four senior admins. Technically, we still do, but they're going to move the one senior admin in over into towards a automation and engineering role. So he's going to be working mostly on Jenkins and automation and stuff like that. That's not to say that we won't be, you know, we're going to, but he'll be like the lead over that. But, so now we're back to, three. And then if I get the tech lead role, technically it'll be down to two. So I'm assuming that, the lead role would have a result bump up in pay, which will work for me because last month in this place, well, hopefully last month in this place, our lease is supposed to end April 2nd. The house probably won't be done until sometime 2025. In April. Or, no, sometime in April Joe. Or May. And no. And the rent's going to be $400 a month. It's like, oh, so that'll put it over a little bit over $2,000. It's like, that's going to be more than my house payment. I'm like, I can't believe what they want for apartments now. I remember when I first went out on my own, my first apartment where I didn't have a roommate, like my brother, rent was only like $400 or $500. It's like, what happened, man? Anyway, I guess I can just spend my third stimulus check on that.
On what?
I think I said I guess I could just spend my third stimulus check on that.
There you go. I had a joyous experience at work this week. So I know you had to
fire somebody, did you?
No. This was a baffling experience. We did I upgraded our Couchbase clusters. I think I talked about this a little bit to 660. This was back in December, and then I had to work on the backup because they had deprecated their tool CD backup wrapper for CD backup manager. And the new tool is geared towards doing incremental backups. So you take a full backup and then every other backup after that, it would take an incremental backup. So then after, like, the standard procedure for this, like, the recommended process is, like, say, the way I do it, Sunday or the first run, which would be Sunday or whatever, first run takes a full backup. And then you have incremental backups the rest of the week until Saturday. Then on Saturday, it takes an incremental backup and then merges all the backups back into the full backup. And then Sunday it starts over again, incremental backup, incremental till Saturday, merge them all back in. And after each backup is done, it rsyncs it up to Google Storage. So we have it in nearline storage and we save it for 30 days and then we get rid of it. So I had tested all of this out in our development environment back in December. I got it fired up, was doing incremental backups, was testing things, Then I wrote the, you know, once I had everything working out there and our syncing up and trying to figure out how we want to do this and scripting out the merging back in there and everything, I had it running for 2 weeks in our development environment before I said, all right, this is good. Now I have to update the cookbooks so I can get the backup script as we want it in there with the latest version of the chef and our support cookbook to be able to push it out. So I had to get, this is in January now, I had to get that done. So, I, you know, that first week of January, I had the cookbook finished. I had the scaler roll was created and I blasted out in our production East environment and ran it the first night and it worked as expected. I mean, it worked even better than I thought it was going to work because we had been having problems like with our backups because they consume a lot of space. So our backup node, when we're doing a full backup, went from, in a couple of months, went from like 6 terabytes attached all the way up to 11 terabytes attached. Because just after, it would work for a week and then the backups would stop working because they wouldn't finish because it would fill up the drive. And anyway, when the first production full backup finished and it was done, it fires off at 10 p.m. at night or 8 p.m. at night and it finishes sometime in the morning. I got up the next day and I looked. And it was 3 terabytes, which is obviously like 8 or 9 terabytes less than what I'm used to. So, but it said it was successful. And I'm like, I know it applies compression by default, but holy moly, that's some decent compression that they applied there. Cause didn't see that kind of problems. And with the compression, we used to have problems with trying to do compression before on the old tool. But this was great. Like, it went fine. And then we had the incremental backups were perfect all the way up to Saturday. And I was like, man, come Monday, I'm going to blast this out to our Production West environment. I'm happy. And Monday I go and I look and it's still doing incremental backups. And I'm like, what's the problem here? Why can't it failed on merging the backups back together? So I'm like, ah, crap. What's the problem? I can't really push this out in the production environment until I know that I can merge the backups. This is the whole point of doing this. So I figure after putzing around with this thing for about an hour and a half, I finally realize that I mistakenly deployed Couchbase 6.5 and not 6.6 on this backup node. Because the way that we handle the Couchbase version, it's a global variable in the scalar farm role. And when if I want to change that version, I got to change that value. And I had left it at 6.5 instead of putting it at 6.6. So I thought, maybe that was the problem. Maybe there's a little weirdness with 6.5 that it can't merge the backup. So I deployed both in our Production East and Production West environments 6.6 backup node. And then for the next week, was unable to get a backup in either environment to complete. So I thought just on a lark, I'm like, the first day it happened, I'm like, I don't know, maybe there was something that happened in both East and West. And then the second day, it didn't do it. I'm like, there's something wrong here. I open a ticket with Couchbase support, and that's always a treat because they want, you know, you got to send all your logs to them and all this stuff, and then they're going to get back to you. And I explained the whole situation. And so that whole time of last week, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I wasn't getting backups. on the same time, I'm trying to see what I can do about maybe fixing the 6.5 merge. I started doing each one in individually, and that seemed to be working fine, but then it stopped working again, so I still haven't been able to merge all the ones back in that 6.5 that I have. So I flipped the switch on the old backup node that was doing full backups. I didn't destroy those nodes. I fired it back up in West because I'm like, we're going a couple of days now without a backup. Got that backup. That's working fine. But the incremental backup or the new backup will not work at all. So then yesterday, I'm like, let's try this because I haven't heard back from Couchbase yet. Let's try this. Couchbase 6.6.1 was released a few weeks ago. So I get all this work done from the upgrade to 6.6.0, and now 6.6.1's out. So I created a backup node and manually installed. I had to pull down the RPM and manually put it on there. Then I disabled Chef client from running because otherwise what ends up happening is the Chef client will revert any changes I made on it to send it back to the way it's supposed to be by the Chef client. So I do that, I fire up screen, and I'm like, I want to watch what's going on, see if it fails. I fire off the backup manually, and I'm sitting there watching it, and it's like, it's running. And usually when I fire off the backup on 6.6.0, it would run for about 15 seconds to maybe a minute, and then boom, it was done. But this thing's going on for 15 minutes, and I'm like, hey, this is great. But the only problem is, it's telling me it's going to take 195 hours. Wait, no, it was 118 hours to finish the backup. And I'm like, that's absurd. Like 6.5 didn't take that. The old tool never took that long. Usually it's finished by the time I get into work the next morning. And so I was really bummed out because 6.5 it works, but I can't merge it. 6.6 doesn't work at all. 6.6.1 is telling me it's going to take, what, 4 days to do a backup? So I was like, all right, I let it go overnight. I come in this morning, I look at it, it's like 92 hours left on the backup, 92 to 95. Like, goodness gracious. So I put in an email to Couch, like, I update the Couchbase ticket explaining the situation. 6.6.1 is working, but it's like absurdly long to do the full backup. And then, like, I didn't hear back from them finally till this later on this afternoon. They're like, it appears you are hitting a bug that we have now documented in the 6.6.0 version of CB Backup Manager. We recommend that you try using 6.6.1. You don't have to upgrade cluster to 6.6.1. Just use that version of CB Backup Manager. And I wrote back to them and I said, I'm using that right now. Again, like I said, it appears to be working, but it's telling me it's going to take like 95 hours to finish the backup. So when I went back in and checked on it, it was finished. And once again, it's reported 3 terabytes in size. So it finished. It was successful. The compression worked. I'm letting it run now for the next 6 days to see whether it does the merge. But man, was that freaking frustrating, Joel. Frustrating.
Well, that's like one of the tickets I got last week where basically it's what it essentially is we have a process in our application that is designed to basically, it logs into you log into the system. You run this process, and it builds data files up on the core system, and then SFTPs them, or FTPs, it can do either, to the reporting SQL server, and that's what's, and then that imports the data into a SQL database, okay? So all of a sudden, out of the blue, stops working. Nothing changed that I know of. Now, granted, I was in the client call with him yesterday. I said to them, I said, hey, Remember you guys had that incident? They had an incident where they accidentally sent a GPO down to our cloud servers, which is a no-no. You're not supposed to do that. And then, of course, they had an incident that was caused by that because nobody could log in because of the GPO. So, and I said, around that time, did you make any changes on the SQL DB side? Then I had mentioned that like at least twice during the client call. And then he said, oh, I want to check on that. I'm like, okay. So I haven't had a chance to check back today because I had like multiple issues. And we go into a stand-up today and there's like multiple versions, I don't know if they're break fixes. One of them definitely isn't. The guy wants to write a report that does this. And I'm like, well, I think the application can do that. You don't really have to write a report because he's talking about doing it in business objects, but he gives me kind of nebulous things. And the way you read it is like, well, is he talking about business objects users or is he talking about users on AD? I'm like, because it could be either, because the terms he used are actually in both. So it's like, okay, I need a little more details. So when I asked him that, I kind of updated that, asked him that. Of course, nobody gets right back with me. So fortunately, that doesn't have any due date on it yet. So we haven't figured out, we haven't done enough scoping on it yet to figure out what it is. The same thing, the other one is like, hey, I need to do this. Or no, the client puts in, hey, we need to reboot this box. And I'm like, I read it. And basically, they made some adjustments somewhere, and now a report's not working. And I'm like, well, rebooting the box ain't going to fix that. So it's like this one with you know, it's just like earlier today, one of our clients made an adjustment in their firewall. All of our alerting goes off. Nobody can log in. We can't log in. Go and behold, they put a firewall change in that blocked. I think DNS or something like that. Like, you know, it's like either they're shooting themselves in the foot or something stupid. And the database thing is my user's fine. I can run it all day for them, but when they try and run it through the well,
it's Joel. Joel, you're cutting out there a little bit.
Yeah, Joel, you're in and out.
I was just lifting up. I was lifting up on my button, so that was probably why. But yeah, it's just like. Frustrating, stupid issues this week. That's my week.
It's exciting, isn't it?
When you get on the phone with support, and you're like, hey, like you get on the phone with support with somebody who's supposed to be an expert, and they're like going over all the basics, and it's like, yeah, we did that with the person we talked to 2 weeks ago. All right. We did what they said to do. It didn't work. We went in and changed the cluster name. It still don't work. It's like, okay, so now how do we fix your product? Frustrating. It's frustrating when documentation sucks. It's frustrating when you run into bugs. That's I just did a fresh Kubuntu install. On this laptop I'm using today, it was like I had it set for dual boot, so I just wiped out the drive completely. No Windows on this machine. And I go through the Kubuntu installer a couple ways. And the final way I went through it is I set it up with using LVM. I get through, the installer finishes. I click the button in the live desktop and say, let's reboot. Pull the thumb drive, operating system not found. I'm like, what in the hell? Well, winds up I probably at some point had disabled the UEFI boot. And Kubuntu, whenever you're doing a fresh install, apparently requires that now. So I had to go into BIOS, turn on UEFI, and bingo, bango, bongo, it boots right into Kubuntu. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, you can't figure out where things are. You can't find a grub, the grub bootloader. Where is it? You know, like didn't work unless I turned the UEFI back on.
That's but the one thing I always hate is like, I haven't done an install in a couple of months, and I always hate fiddling around with UEFI. It's always been a pain in the ass. It either works or it's a pain in the ass to get going.
Well, nice thing is I just turn it on and boots right in the thing.
They get them again?
No, I'm probably lifting up on my fingers. Because I'm kind of leaning back in my chair. Now, I've never figured out with this one, when I had it dual booting, I never could figure out how to have it just boot straight up into Ubuntu. I always had to make sure I selected the Ubuntu. I don't have to do that no more.
That's good.
This laptop is actually getting pretty ancient, too. The down cursor does not work on it. In the cursor keys. Everything else does.
The down cursor? You mean the down arrow?
Yeah. Yeah, the down arrow doesn't work.
Oh, that's not... Like, that's almost a must-have when you're playing around on your in the terminal.
No.
You're going through your history.
Not really. Yeah. Not really. Well, I don't do a lot of shell scripting on this one. So it doesn't really bother me that much on this. This is I'm
using
it
as a glorified
Chromebook.
If you're using VI, you just use the J to go.
JKL.
Yeah, JKL. HJK.
Yep.
Yeah, HJKL, right? I love oh. Vimmy.
Yep. You can always remap the keys too.
Yeah, good. Then it becomes a pain in the butt to try and remember that.
Yeah.
Especially like you get used to it, and then you go to another machine, and it's not remapped anywhere else.
Yeah, it's probably why I'll probably just get a new laptop, and then what I'll probably do, probably get rid of this one, cascade my Lenovo down this way.
Oh crap! My phone's gonna be here on Friday, and the case is gonna be on Saturday. What does that mean?
Ah, means you gotta carry it naked.
Hey, does anybody here use Google Authenticator?
All the time.
Can you move it to another phone without having to re-like go through everything? How easy is that?
It's really easy. You just go. What I do before I do a new phone is if you go into the web page, there's a way you can go into the your Google account's web page. I wish I remember what they call it. But you can print off a list of temporary codes. They're basically they're one time use codes.
Right.
And they're designed them so you can just slip it into put it on a piece of paper, stick it in your wallet. That way you have them. And when you first set up the authenticator, you use one of those, and it generally moves over. Although I don't think you even have to do that anymore. But I always print them anyway, just in case.
Now, are you talking about like codes for Google Authenticator or codes for what you set up? And like, every time I set something up in Authenticator, I get codes.
Right.
So
now, there is a set of codes that you can print out for setting up Authenticator on new phones and devices and stuff. You may not have to go that far. See that. Is one I usually don't have a problem with, and one I usually end up do having a problem with is I have the same thing. I use a Google Authenticator for Amazon, and it adds up like you have the normal Google Authenticator line, but in the same app there'll also be another line for Amazon. And sometimes I have problems getting that going in Authenticator, but haven't had it happen in a long time. And the same thing when we use Okta at work.
That
now, the one thing I'd like to figure out is we have multiple domains that we use. And just this week, I started getting some for our Singapore and Australia domain. And, like, we don't have clients in the Singapore and Australia. Our application is North America only.
Yeah. North America only.
I see those ones and I'm like, I don't give a shit. Well, the only one I need is I need our normal one, and then I need the Canadian one because we have a couple Canadian clients.
Well, you could use Authenticator without the SIM card installed, right? It's not at all tied to.
I don't see why that would be an issue.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if it was something about it tied to your SIM. No, it's not. Yeah. Because I'm looking at instructions for transferring. It's like you got to have your old phone and your new phone. You on your old phone, you tap transfer on your new phone, and I'm like,
it's really
as
easy.
As long as it's not going to be a problem. I'm sure. I figured it was. It's just that I know the last time I did this, it was like such a pain in the butt. That I had to.
It's better now than the last time you did this. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. No, the last time I had to worry about this is when my phone actually died. Like, my work phone died, and then I was like, shit, I'm locked out of all my work accounts. Because. There was some other reason why I was locked out. I wanted the transfer for it, but like. And set it up again, but I couldn't disable it. Or, I don't know, I forget. It was many years ago. Shit, I don't remember.
Maybe you should upgrade more than every 4 years then.
Yeah, well, this was... I have my work phone right here, and this thing is, like, older than my personal phone, and... I don't know what happened with the battery on this in here, but it expanded so much it pushed the screen out. So the screen, like, it pushed the screen off the phone. And there's like an inch gap on the left-hand side between the phone and the screen where the battery is just, like, blown up on this thing. That can't be good. But that happened about a year ago, so.
It's still like that? No, that's not good.
Well, I mean, I haven't turned it on in like over a year now. It's just sitting here.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not going to turn it on. Are you crazy? I'm not going to try and charge that battery. It'll probably set my house on fire.
Kaboom.
And I'm like, I don't, you know what? I don't want a work phone because it's a pain in the butt.
I don't mind it because the great thing is when I'm not on call, the damn thing stays in here. Now, granted, that may change when I become a tech lead, but if I become a tech lead, you know, because then I'll probably have to carry my phone more often.
Tech lead. Do it, baby. Do it.
Got to be on standby for when Bangle messes up.
Well.
I'm kidding. They don't do that very often. They do sometimes, though. It's like I've been picking apart some of these installs I've been coming across, and I'm like, why did he do it this way? I'm like, what the hell? Did you follow directions?
Nope.
That's like one of my teammates and I kind of was shadowing a little bit because I have not done like a migration of business objects from one server to another in the same version. All right. Because in professional service, when I worked in professional services, all we ever did was we did the installation of the new version. Of course, when I was in at that time, we were having a lot of people that were going from Business Objects 3 to Business Objects 4. Now it's not, it's more like people just staying on the current version of SAP Business Objects. So it's more or less just backing up and restoring a SQL database and store over to, into the new system. All right, so he gets through this thing, and users can log in and all that. And he looks and is like, well, there's no AD authentication set up. Well, how is it working? Authentication, AD. That's because Bangalore set it up to use, instead of using AD, they set it up to use LDAP, which AD is LDAP. And it works. Yeah, all right. The only problem is you don't get single sign-on when you set up a LDAP with SAP Business Objects versus when you set it up with AD. If you have it set up with AD, you log into like your workstation, and then you go to the web page to access your reports on Business Objects, and it just logs you right into the application, pulling your information from Windows. So, and if you have LDAP set up, it doesn't do that.
LDAP.
I hate LDAP. I have LDAP and single sign-on. Ugh.
I haven't had. I played around a little bit with that, but not too much. Like I'm integrating with it a little bit where I work, but that's not what I need to do anymore, or I hadn't had to do it in a long time. I remember eDirectory. That was eDirectory. Novell.
Yeah, I remember we had a custom solution for adding users so they can log in to our system, and so they had this completely custom system. So what they did with their eDirectory layout is they had everything laid out per building, okay? So that when you move from one building to another or one room to another on campus, like, that were in two different buildings, they would move what eDirectory container you were in. I'm like, okay, why are you doing that? Well, because in that way we don't have to move printers and stuff around. I'm like, okay. I'm like, so we had this really convoluted setup, and at time, our application couldn't walk the tree. So we had to come up with another way to get people to be able to use their eDirectory credentials to log into certain pieces of it. And it's like, ah, man. It's like, and it goes down towards where now, and it's sometimes it's IT driving this, sometimes it isn't, but a lot of times IT folks forget how to keep it simple. You know what I mean, Dan?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
It's like, yeah, you can do this really complicated, convoluted way of doing things that might make your life a little bit easier, but how easier is it really going to make your life? You know, your day might be a little bit easier, but then when you have to go do something more complex, like do another integration, when your custom solution doesn't work.
Yeah. Well.
And of course, I got an 8 o'clock in the morning call with our VP. called Cloud Chat. Woohoo.
You know, I'm working with a team on an interesting project. It was a little difficult for me to wrap my head around. Not difficult, but understand the reasoning. We have our CMS, content management system, that we built in house, and now they're looking toward the next iteration of this and say, we want to make some changes. And one of the things that they looked at is the editor. And they looked at a bunch of different options that are out there for the editor. Now a lot of the names are eluding me. It's like CK Editor, Quill, Tiny Cloud, Tiny MCE. So these are all like HTML editors that you could put into your project for it and work. And the one that they settled upon that they liked the most was Gutenberg. Have you ever heard of Gutenberg?
Steve Gutenberg
Project Gutenberg, right?
Yes, I've heard of that.
So Gutenberg is the development name of the block editor for WordPress. Gutenberg isn't a standalone editor. It's WordPress's editor. As of 5.2, I think it is, version 5.2, Gutenberg is now, or the block editor is the standard default editor in WordPress. You can go back and go. So I had a ticket that I picked up where like they're trying to go back and forth between WordPress VIP hosting and self-hosting WordPress. And I picked up this ticket to dive into the configuration options and how to customize and what it is that we need to do to do what we want to do in WordPress. And I'm sitting there looking at this ticket and I'm like, I don't get it. Like, why are we going with an entire, like, blog/publishing product when all we want is the editor? It seems like an awful lot. But so I talked to the guy who's above me, who coordinates a lot of this stuff, and he said, I hear what you're saying, but what we're really interested in is WordPress has a framework and an industry standard, like architecture, particularly the plugin architecture, that we can easily build upon better than writing it all ourselves. So we may only want the editor and some of the stuff around it, but we don't need, you know, we could take that and then extend that faster than having to build all of this stuff in-house. And there's a wide berth of WordPress developers out there that we could tap into. And I'm like, okay, I get it. So
once you start stripping stuff out, is it really WordPress anymore?
Well, see, that's the thing. You could do a lot with WordPress. Like when I looked at it and I was looking at the configuration option, I'm like, well, I'm not exactly sure what it is we want to do. If it's all we want is the editor, then why? Why?
Yeah.
So their block editor has this really cool functionality and they really liked it. It stood out better than all the other ones that they tested. So, I mean, it's not that difficult to customize and configure WordPress. Like you start, once you start reading about it and understanding and learning it, all you need to do is, you know, there's configuration options that you can apply in the WP config file, but then pretty much everything else, you're just going to either use a plugin or write your own plugin and use it with your own theme or theme that you write. So it's not hard to write themes and plugins, and there's a lot of information documentation doing, there's a lot of functionality. So you start to understand, like, if all we want to do is just make this editor available, it's not going to be that difficult to turn everything else off and to manage it the way that we want to manage it and send data in and out to other places other than the WordPress, necessarily just the WordPress database and hook into all that. So it's been pretty cool and interesting. So at first I was really like, kind of like, man, this seems like we're pulling this 800-pound gorilla just for its face. You know what I mean? But
it's like, how hard is it to develop an editor? Or heck, you might be able to find a PHP editor that you can based editor that you can just plug into it that's as good.
Well, let me tell you, it's very difficult because we've done that. We wrote our own editor. We've demoed a bunch of editors, and they like the Gutenberg one, the block editor on WordPress, the best. It fits the needs of the company.
Right.
And again, it's like, you know, writing this stuff, building this stuff is not, if you have a big enough developer group, it's easy.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the pandemic and everything, our group has kind of shrunk a bit. And so it's like, how do we get from where we are today to where we want to be and do it?
Right.
Like, how could we do it without, you know, we got to bring somebody else on. They got to relearn how to reinvent the wheel here and get right into our system.
Well, it's like one of my criticisms of when I use a website, and this is not, this is, I don't understand companies who do this. Like, when you sign up for a service, you don't build in into the website a way to terminate the service. Okay? So, like, I was subscribed to a Bespoke Post, which I'll admit I do like a lot of the stuff they have. Okay? But as of late, their boxes have kind of been horrible. And essentially what it is guy stuff, although now they do women's stuff too, but guy stuff that you would get a box once a month, and it would have, you know, certain stuff that's kind of oriented towards guys mostly, okay? So, like, my first one I got, like, a Hori Hori knife and a bird call and then another one I got, like, a notebook and a fountain pen and a Opinel pocket knife, you know. And another one I got coffee in it, all right? So I haven't got – it's been probably over a year since I've gotten a box. But when we were moving in here, I said, can I – just cancel. I just want to cancel my subscription to the boxes. I still might go and buy something off your website every once in a while because you do have cool stuff. Because they have more than just the box service. Because you can actually go there and buy like a toiletries and stuff like that, you know. So I go through to her website trying to find a way. There's no way to cancel the site. There's no way even to pause the subscription. In their website, you have to send them an email. It's like, why? You don't build that into your website so I don't have, because the one reason that I don't want to be subscribed to it is because you don't have to get a box, all right? But you only have 4 days to determine that. So when And when the first of the month hits, and you don't get into the site in time, they automatically pick a box for you. And if you don't get into the site in time, they ship it and bill you for it too. And it's like, you may not want that stuff. You know, so like this month I went back and looked, and some of the boxes they'll basically, once they build a box, they'll build so many of them until it, and so like, you know, a certain box might be around for two, three months, you know, until it's out of stock. Okay, so one of them was like a steel case, like it's basically a box with a lid and latches on it, and a ledger, and that's it for $45. I can go and I can probably find a steel case at Harbor Freight for $10. It's like, you're charging me. I mean, granted, is the one at Harbor Freight going to be as nicely finished as the one that Bespoke Post sells? Probably not. Okay, but guys don't give a shit about the fit and finish on something like that. You know, we just want something to put our shit in. You know, and then another one was had a plastic ammo box and a nice gut skinner knife. Not that I need that because I don't hunt. But you don't have to use it just for that. And it had like a paracord bracelet and all that. So I started looking up. The only thing I couldn't find online was the knife, which the knife itself could be about 40. It could be basically building the box. So basically they all have like one decent thing and the rest of it's just filler shit. It's like, come on, don't give me garbage that I don't need. So I'm like, so I email them. And what's funny is apparently they sent me an email yesterday trying to, you know, convince me to stay, and I didn't respond, so they finally canceled it today. And I'm like, that's fine, you know. But I didn't see both emails until like today. But so my account's still there, I just don't have the subscription, so I can still log into the website. Like, and if I want to buy, they have a charcoal soap, Baselite brand charcoal soap that I actually was in one of my boxes, and I liked that. That was really good. You know, so sometimes they have winter boxes. Lately, it's just been shit. It's like the one they automatically picked for me this month, if I didn't make any changes, was a hoodie, a light blue colored hoodie for $45. I'm like, I can go to Walmart and buy one that's actually in my size, because that's the other thing too, is they don't have stuff for big dudes like me. All right, the biggest size they have is maybe an extra large, maybe, you know. And if you're a triple X, forget it. But it's like $45.
Get down to a large.
Well, it's easier said than done, especially when I have about 6 inches of snow and slush on the ground.
Well, look up volume eating.
Don't really eat that much, so
don't need to.
But
either way, volume eating will help you.
Yeah, but so I'm just like, yeah, well, you know, I don't know if I'll do another box service like that or not. I might try like the battle box. Have you ever seen that stuff, Pat? If you're still there,
what's a battle box?
Pat left a while ago.
Yeah. Basically, it might have like a knife and some survival kind of gear in a box. And there's another one too that's done by the dude who did Fat Guys in the Woods on the Weather Channel, Creek Stewart. He does one called a Pocket Box. The one kind of neat thing with a Pocket Box is you get stuff, but then it has instructions and stuff on how to learn how to use it. So it actually gives you kind of like a little project to do after you get it. And then you, of course, get to keep whatever's in it, like the knife or whatever.
So the only way you can get out of this is to email them or call them?
Yep. Yep, there's not one link on their site.
That's how they get you, huh?
So, It's kind of, I'm not going to say shady, because they're not the only ones that do that. Yeah, battle boxes, survival gear and outdoor gear delivered monthly.
You need them to bring you a shovel.
Some people, yeah. Even when I move, well, I don't really need one when I move either, because the association will take care of the snow removal. But, yeah, it's still a good idea to have a snow shovel around, just in case you get, 28 inches of snow. It might be some time before that association gets that stuff cleared out.
Are you paying for that? Huh? They should be in there first thing, fixing that up for you, right?
That's what I think, right? That's what I think. Anyway,
guess we got to start wrapping this up. You got 8 o'clock meeting, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have to be on cam for it, though.
I'm off all next week.
What happened?
Shut up.
Just had to take some vacation.
Oh, is that in lieu of... You didn't take vacation over the holidays, did you?
I took some vacation, but, you know, last year being last year, I didn't take as much vacation as I should have, so, yeah.
Well, that's great. What are you doing, anything? Like, any projects planned?
I'm going to spend the mornings giving my wife a break from, you know, watching our son do school.
Wow.
And I figure in the afternoon I could work on that arcade that I have, and maybe customize that if I want to, or, you know, I could just be extra lazy and play some more Borderlands.
Which Borderlands?
3. Maybe I'll bust out some 2.
Ooh. That should be fun.
Nice.
You got anything?
Hard for
going
me
on
to
now?
Believe it's February already.
Oh yeah, I know, huh?
Nope, just waiting for them to do the house things. You know, just got 2 more days worth of work this week. They get a weekend, although they got a ProdOS updates this weekend. I don't know if I want to help or not. We'll see, because I got 4 clones next week for whatever reason.
Gotta keep you busy.
Yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna play us out.
Doing
what? Yep, go ahead, finish with... Alright, I'm gonna play us out so I can get to bed too. Here we go. Your promos. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Oh my god. It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
All right, I better stop this so I can get it out. Say goodnight, Joel.
Good night, Joel.
Good night, little Lily.
Oh, yeah. Here.
Yeah, now she's gone.
To bed. She ain't so little no more.
She should have been in bed an hour ago. Well,
it's all your fault.
She's gonna be nine.
That's right.
I see Joel's here.
He is, and then again, he isn't.
Internet issues.
Is he still stuck in that Verizon outage from a few weeks ago? Come on. What are we doing here? How you doing, Pat?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Come on, get it. There we go. There we go. Let's see here.
Hello.
How you doing, Internet Man?
Just rebuilt this laptop Kubuntu on it instead of Ubuntu.
Pizza, pizza.
Yeah. All right. Let's see where we are. Kubuntu, huh?
Yep.
Get the GoDaddy logo service going on. $8.92.
I turned on ad blocking up my router and it's actually great.
Is your internet better now?
I can't really tell, but it's like the only thing I really noticed that it blocks is like a double click.
That's good. Well, you know, it's always a good thing, huh? Let's see what we got. Oh, yeah. Oh, baby. I got stuff tonight. You're going to love it, Joel. And Joe. And maybe Pat. I don't know.
Ooh, you air fried.
No, I'm not actually technology related.
Wow.
All right. We're ready to fire this off? You ready, Jim?
The only thing Joel's going to want to talk about is how his house got delayed again.
No, say it ain't so, Joel.
It's not delayed at all. It's not delayed at all.
Come on, Joe. It's right on time for 2023. No, you've been. Have you posted any pictures recently, like in the past week or so?
No, I didn't.
Okay, because I know I saw the you got pictures of the foundation, didn't you?
Yeah, foundation, and we have the framing was there too. So,
That's cool. Did you get the the sunroom issue or something fixed?
Yeah, they got the other pad in, I think.
Because I know it was on the wrong side of the house or something, like last week.
Yep.
Well, that's good. All right, let's fire this off. We can get talking.